Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Episode number 9, guys. Welcome back. How are you guys doing?
9 is fine.
Yes.
I am doing so fine right now. The weather is so nice that I'm just like, the cold is now gone.
Although, I like the cold. I like sweater weather. I just got some jackets at a online secondhand store. Mm-hmm, so I'm like,
there is an online secondhand store?
Mm-hmm. What? I'll send you the links. They're pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm like, yes. Anyway, so as I was saying, it is episode 9, guys. What is el chisme de la semana for you guys?
Ooh, chisme de la semana. This is Kristen, and I am fresh from coming back from Emerald City Comic Con 2017 up in Seattle, which is a very big indie-heavy convention. It's one of my favorite conventions. If you've never been to Emerald City, definitely get a chance to go. The access that you'll have to the creators there is like no other. Being able to go into panels and talk to creators with total ease and hardly any wait compared to maybe somebody that you're trying to see at San Diego and you stand in line for hours and hours and still might not get in. Mm-hmm. So definitely go. But one of the things that I found out about at Emerald City is some Bitch Planet news.
So really?
Ooh, you might. Nice. The listeners, you might remember Bitch Planet from a few episodes back that we talked about and discussed and that we totally love. But one of the things that a lot of people don't like about Bitch Planet is the fact that it takes so long in between issues. And that has a lot to do with Kelly Sue DeConnick's schedule and all the different things that she has going on in her life. She's writing for Emerald City and, you know, just a lot of things that she does creatively. Because of this big gap in issues coming out, there is actually going to be a Bitch Planet anthology coming out.
Wow.
Whoa. It's called Bitch Planet Triple Feature. It's a 5-issue anthology that's, like I said, making up for the delay on of the next Bitch Planet arc that is coming up. Each issue is going to have 3 short stories by different creators.
Oh, I love that.
Nice. Kelly Sue and Delandro, the artist, actually are going to be working on the stories with these creators and have developed the stories already, and then we'll be working with the creators to kind of follow through and to help them to, I guess, write them. I guess kind of in a third party type of way, like not write it for them, but, you know, just kind of help them. And they have and Kelly Sue is going to write for each episode an essay.
I love it.
She herself is writing the essay.
She'll write the essay.
Wow.
In each of the
I can't wait.
Yes,
so excited. By the way, guys, happy International Woman Day.
Oh yes.
Oh, yeah.
Happy International Woman's Day. Sorry about that. I just remembered.
Go ahead. So the second part to this Bitch Planet chisme is that there is actually Lauren McCubbin, who is a writer, a creator, is working on creating a compliancy manual.
What the hell?
Oh my
hell
god!
Yeah.
What this is going to be is it's basically going to be a quote-unquote manual for the Bitch Planet world. So, like,
nice.
What the women in this universe have to do to be compliant. And it's going to be written in textbook form.
It's as if us
three were women living in the world of Bitch Planet, that as women, we would get these manuals to be like, okay, these are the rules that you need to follow.
I can kind of see them, like, you teaching this, at school, like, the textbook, like, they gave it to every girl that's
yes,
there.
Yes,
and, like, the, okay, today we're going to be listening on how to serve your man.
Yes! Now,
and it's not a cookbook.
And you exactly have it, you have it exactly right. And the awesome thing about this is that included in this manual, remember when you guys were kids and you would get hand-me-down books that, like, yeah, many students before you had gotten, and they would write things in the,
yeah,
margins,
in the margins
or in the back?
Yeah.
This compliancy manual is going to come complete with writings in the margins of the quote-unquote students who have had the books before.
I love it.
So the,
I love it.
The writing from the students is, are going to be about, like, the feelings of how they feel about what they're being told about, mm-hmm, how they need to act.
Yeah.
And
it's about the rebels.
And they'll,
yeah,
be, and then, you know, you in the stalls where somebody will write something and then someone will respond to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same,
yeah,
thing with the book. There's going to be responses,
cool,
from different students that have had these books in their hands.
Oh, has that ever happened, so cool, before, where they have something like this style of writing can be kind of a new style where,
yeah, yeah, I don't know. I just thought that that was awesome because I remember it's really a fond memory of mine, kind of when you think about it, that you would get a textbook in school and it was kind of like this history of people who had that book before, mm-hmm, you and the things that they wrote, and just it was like you kind of had like a window into their world. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is going to be. And with just the comments replying to each other and what their feelings are and stuff, I honestly can't wait for this. I didn't hear or see any date of when to expect it, but just know it's being worked on and that it's coming.
That is, yeah, amazing, because not only are they writing the manual, so they have to have like that kind of mentality that you're writing a manual,
mm-hmm,
but then you have to invent and
side,
create,
yeah,
like all these other persons that are writing in the margins and taking notes.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm,
so that's like multifaceted. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. Like, whoa.
So when I heard about that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be my cheesemate, because I knew we were meeting. So, and I'm all about Bitch Planet cheesemate.
Oh, I agree. That's great news.
Yes. And I actually was at Kelly Sue DeConnick's table when she was talking about this to somebody else. I guess they had talked about it in the panel already that day, which I missed. I wasn't able to go to it. But she was really talking to this fan, saying, you know, you guys are so awesome. You've supported us from the very beginning, and we really wanted to do something because you deserve it as fans.
Wow.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really nice
She's
to hear
so
as
cool.
a fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't met her yet. I would love to meet her.
She's really awesome.
Same.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, yeah. So, there you go. There's my chisme.
It's a great chisme, by the way.
All right. My chisme de la semana. This is Jen, by the way. They have cast Domino for the Deadpool sequel.
Excellent.
The person that they cast is Zazie Beetz.
I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool name. She is from the TV show Atlanta. At least that's where she...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where she... I guess you can see some of her appearances. It was announced via Instagram by Ryan Reynolds, who spelled out her name in Domino's.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. No way.
Yeah,
that is
like,
so
legit.
Cool.
That's cool. That is super cool.
And so now we have a character. Now, Domino is a very prominent character in, basically, within the X-Men, especially within the X-Force,
mm-hmm.
because she's a member of the X-Force. A little bit of history. She's a probability-altering mutant, and she has dated Cable before.
Oh, wow.
So, there's also the possible love interest, but I know that it's been kind of like an on-and-off relationship with them both. She is,
That's interesting, because whenever I see Domino, she always appears to me to be a young girl. And whenever I see Cable, he always seems to me to be older. Yeah,
yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that pairing seems weird to me.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually supposed to be the same age, but... X-Force and just the X-Men books in general, the 90s art and everything has always really
yeah.
established that. And we all know, like,
yeah.
the women characters have always been, like,
There you go.
Yeah.
You could have just stopped at,
Yeah. True. And the men have been depicted as hyper-masculine,
yeah.
so they could
yeah.
be... they could be the same age or maybe just like a little bit of age difference, maybe 2 or 3 years. But
that's a terrible aging. He's really aged badly. Yeah. Maybe it's all that time jumping that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it takes a toll on you.
Yeah. So, it's good. Yeah. Like I said, I'm very excited to see her. She's always been kind of a cool, interesting character that I've always wanted to know more about.
Yeah.
And it'll be exciting to see, how they depict her in Deadpool, and the fact that it seems more and more like positive that these Deadpool movies are leading to,
yes,
X-Force.
Yes.
Oh, or, yeah. Hell yeah.
And I'm like, yes, give it to me. I want it.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. So exciting. That's some good cheesement too.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah,
good stuff.
Well, and I know we've all had a chance to see the trailer for, it's not trailer.
It's a teaser.
Like a little teaser. There, yeah, you go.
Oh my God.
And it was so funny.
Yes,
so
it was.
And it got me so excited because it's already been over a year that
yeah,
movie's come out. So
yeah.
I'm ready for another Deadpool movie.
Oh, me too.
I'm ready. Talk about a movie that took everyone by storm.
Oh yes, yeah. That was a nice, nice surprise. I like when there's nice surprises.
Yes.
Well, my chisme de la semana is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be recording episode 10. And when we record episode 10, there will be a gift prize we will,
yay,
offer one of our listeners.
Praise.
So stay tuned for that. So that's my chisme. So stay tuned, guys, please. Don't give up on us on 9. Stay tuned for 10. Because there's prizes.
Because we'll give you free stuff.
Free stuff, guys. Free stuff.
Excellent. We're totally not bribing you guys.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, guys, what are we reading today? What did we read?
What are we drinking today?
Oh, shoot. Yes. All right. See, guys, it's the beer. What are we drinking today? We are drinking Phantom Carriage. We're drinking, it's called Amelie, and it's a beer style. It's called Grisette. Grisette is a beer style. It's a Belgian beer style, but it's a southern Belgian style. And this, I was told by the barkeep, I don't know what to call him, the pourer, I don't know, the gentleman behind the bar, I was told that it was their take on this type of Belgian style, this Grisette. So it's an homage to Grisette.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever had a Grisette before, and I really love Belgian beers,
mm-hmm,
but this does not sound familiar to me, and in drinking it, it's definitely a lot lighter than most Belgians that I've ever drank before.
The Grisette is meant to be a light Belgian beer.
Okay.
This take on that, the nice gentleman was telling me about, their take was a little bit sweeter.
Okay.
This is why you have some hints of citrus in,
yes,
it.
Yes.
Mm. It's a 6%, and it's from Phantom Carriage. It's on tap. I'm not sure if it's available in a bottle. Phantom Carriage is a local brewery here in Southern California. It's at 18525 South Main Street in Carson, California. It's a beautiful location. The outside, of course, looks like a factory. But once you come inside, it's, like, really dark. And they have, like, paintings of, like, Dracula. And they
Gothic.
Very gothic,
yes.
Well,
with a name like Phantom Carriage,
yeah,
I'm assuming it would need to be. Yeah.
It was actually really dark in there. It took me a moment for my eyes to focus on the lack of light. But
yeah,
it was really cool. And they have, like, little sections that are sectioned off. So, like, if you have a large group and you want to be away from, like, the big tap room, you can go to the side, and there's, like, little rooms, and then they
when you want to be a vampire when you're in the bar.
Oh, they have a coffin there, too.
Do
oh,
they?
My,
yes,
God. This is my kind of place. I need to go. Like, this is, oh, my God. This is my aesthetic. Like, ugh.
Yeah,
I need,
it's,
I need
super
to,
cool.
I need to hit this place up.
And they also serve food, so if you're in the mood for,
ooh,
like, snacking,
okay,
they have some food. They had some hummus and pita bread for $5. I thought that was a deal.
That's not bad.
Oh,
yeah,
not bad.
So it's a definitely must go and sit there and have a beer. It's really beautiful in there. It's kind of creepy and awesome. They have TVs like showing like old movies and stuff too.
Oh, cool.
So it's really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of a breakaway from like the lighter tap rooms where you go where everything's so bright and cheery,
yeah,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it called? Jen, what are they called? These kids nowadays, hipsters.
Oh, okay.
It's a definite, yeah, break from the hipster.
The hipster scene.
It's,
yeah,
a break from the hipster scene and throwback to goth and emo.
Yes, exactly.
Take me there. Oh, my God. may not be in high school anymore, but goddamn, I will remain an emo kid forever.
Nice. So this is a 6%. So let's go around. What do you guys think of it? We got a growler, so.
Yeah. So like I said, it's a lot lighter than the Belgians that I'm used to, but it's really good. Very light. There's a little bit of a hoppiness, but like very faint. You have to really look for it. And it is very citrusy, and I was just mentioning that I think this definitely would be a beer that I would love to drink on a hot afternoon, very cold, I think it would be very refreshing.
Absolutely, I agree. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with your take on this. It is very summery. It's warm out, so it actually feels really good to drink this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that the sour that the Belgian is as a brew, it's very light and faint. It's mm-hmm. very subtle, but it is very Belgian-y. So, but it's really, really good. I enjoy it. What about you?
I actually really like it. I don't think I've ever had a Belgian before. So if this is how most of them are, I'm for it. But guessing from your reviews, this is a unique beer in and of itself. You can definitely taste like the citrus. It's very noticeable when you first drink it. And I really like it because you can taste that sweetness, that citrusy sweetness. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for that. And then it's like towards the end, like if in between sips, you can taste the sourness a little bit, but it, like, lingers and it's not overpoweringly, like, makes me pull a face or something.
Yeah, definitely. Fortunately, the gentleman gave me a little taster before I had the growler fill, so I was like, okay, Jen can go for this. Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, I was looking at another stout that they were pouring at the time, and I'm like, yes. Oh, no. And it boldly said coffee, and I was like, oh, no. can't do that one. Definitely not. Although, with all the stouts and porters we've been doing, I'm kind of learning to appreciate them a little bit more.
Nice.
Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. You have a convert.
I can get behind the porters because we've had some good ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
The previous one. What was it, like 2 episodes ago? That was in a can?
I don't remember. Darn it, I don't remember either. was it the 6 points?
Yes,
from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Yeah.
I know you really
enjoyed that one. Yeah.
A lot of people, the gentleman, he's like, well, what do you, oh, because another thing about Phantom Carriage is they have, you could get a pour for $6, I believe. Oh, no, you can buy a glass for $6, or you could have a glass/pour for $10. So I had one of those. So I was able to get a Phantom Carriage glass, goblet. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, what do you want? And I said, surprise me. He's like, well, what do you like? And I go, I like beer. And then everybody started laughing. They're like, I'm going to use that. I like beer. Because, I mean, I don't have, like, a specific, you know, I just like all beers. I mean, if I really don't like it, I think the only one I really didn't like was a Sriracha one that came out some time ago.
What?
Yeah, from, I think it was from Rogue, I believe. But anyway, it was so horrible, I want to just forget it.
It's the ones that you don't like that are always more memorable, and you know specifically, I don't like those. Like, that pizza beer.
I was going to say, I still to this day talk about that pizza beer.
Nice. Tasted like oregano.
Yes.
God.
So based on the fact that I would drink this on a hot day and like I like beer, but I really like Belgians as well. I know my husband really likes those as well. So given that and the taste of this and the citrusy undertones and then that nice bitterness that doesn't really, it's not really pungent. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give this a full.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with the full. It's a wonderful beer and it obviously is kind of like making me a little happy here with one glass.
I would agree with the full. I'm going with full as well. Like I said, Belgians are my favorite. I love that unique just flavor that they have. And I'm not even sure. I'm sure that there's some beer brewing type terminology and that you can use to describe what that is, but all I know is that it's good and I like it, and this one is awesome as well, and I look forward to hopefully them having it the next couple of weeks when we're going to be hitting the 90s here in Southern California.
Oh man, yeah. So I'm going to go with a full as well because I did like it. And since drinking this a lot of beers with you guys, I really noticed that I really like the citrusy ones. Zeros are tend to be my favorites.
Oh, cool! Yeah. I could look into that from now on.
Hey.
Nice. You know, she might not be old enough to drink beer, but I have to say, someone that would love the ambiance of this Phantom Carriage Brewery that you talked about is Jonesy.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, yeah! You,
this is like her dream spot. This is like her fantasy world come to life.
Like, if she had to take over her dad's donut and decided to revamp it, that's the aesthetic she would go with.
I agree. I completely agree. So the book that we read this week that we're going to discuss is Jonesy.
Did you say all ages?
I was
right?
going to say it's all ages. It doesn't say all ages on here, but it's a Boombox imprint. Mm-hmm. And
Boombox tends to be all ages.
Yeah.
Like, I think just to like be safe, they go with the teen rating.
Yeah,
but it is definitely an all ages book, or at least I think it is an all ages book.
Yeah, it's written by Sam Humphries, who is the person who wrote the book we did for our last episode, Green Lanterns. Mm-hmm. So this is a really, really cool way to be able to see his totally, completely different styles of writing.
Different writing styles.
Yes.
And
which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you said that, I'm like super excited because that just, it's not that, you know, like, oh, you know, he wrote the Green Lantern and he wrote this. It's just the way he can produce a good, wonderful book in such a different style.
Yes.
From mm-hmm. the same person. I think that's really talented.
Yes. Because there's writers out there that when you're reading books by them, you definitely know you're reading books by them.
Exactly. Yeah, Jeff Lemire. No, I love Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, no, I did too.
He's amazing, but like, you know you're reading a Jeff Lemire
yeah,
book.
Absolutely.
You absolutely know. Just kind of like, you know when you're reading a Grant Morrison book.
Mm-hmm.
You know their style, yes. Like in Alan Moore, but this one, it's radically different
yes.
from his Green Lanterns one. And
oh, absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I actually like this one a bit more than his Green Lanterns one. Like, I did like the Green Lanterns book, but I don't know what it is. It might be also, like, the added artwork. It really adds
yes.
more, I guess, more feelings and
yeah.
more emotions and more vivaciousness
yeah.
to his writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved the artwork for this. It was very cute. It was very cartoonsy. And it really helped animate Jonesy's face.
Yes. The artist is, her name is Caitlin. What is it? Caitlin
Humphries?
No. Caitlin Rose Boyle? Or is it Ross Boyle?
I think it is, Caitlin Rose Boyle.
Yes. So she did the cover and she also did the art inside. And I think she's fair. I don't know of her doing any other like ongoing series comics before. When I looked her up, it definitely she did like some web stuff, some web comics
yeah.
and
she's,
some things like that. But
yeah, in fact, she's a newcomer into this scene.
Okay.
And I think she did an excellent
yes,
job.
Yes, she really did.
But now that I know, we mentioned this before in our book club at Heidi Ho.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you can tell a webcomic artist.
Oh, uh-huh.
And now that I think about it, the art for this very much is kind of webcomic-y to
okay.
me. Like, a full one page can tell a full story kind
uh-huh.
of thing. And just the artwork itself is kind of like how it's, like, very, very, like, not all over the place. And that's not the word I'm going for. It's very dynamic, kind of kinetic. Like, like I said, that it's very animated.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's very animated. That's the word I'm going
yes.
for. And that's something I tend to see more with webcomic artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Noelle Stevenson and with, what was that one book that we read?
Giant Days?
Giant Days,
yes.
Yes. With Giant Days, kind of. It's it's very enjoyable. I really do like it. But if you've had experience reading webcomics and stuff like that, it kind of reads as that a bit like a webcomic, also in print
mm-hmm.
form, just with a lot more dialogue.
So the storyline here is Jonesy is a teenager. I'm telling you, Jonesy was me as a teenager.
Same!
Oh my god,
same!
I felt like this
is me. Like, Josie's me, but she's wittier.
Yeah.
But
she's wittier, and her fashion sense was is 10 times better than mine was. Yeah. Like, I had my moments where I truly, like, did look cool.
Yeah.
But she's got her outfits on point
right.
all the time, and I'm just all like, God, I was killed
so
to look like that.
Jonesy writes her own zine. And just to go back on the zine, for a while, I was like, what the heck is a zine? Until finally, it's like, oh, hello, yeah, okay, I get it. So she writes her own zine. She, you know, teenager has her secret crushes. But, I mean, her outlook on life, just like, it's like this sarcastic cynicism.
Yes.
It's the kind of sarcastic cynicism that can only come from a teenager
exactly.
who oh, thinks yes. like the smallest thing will be the end of the world.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
And
yeah.
actually, that I'm so glad you touched on that. But one of the things is like almost every comic, I guess every issue, she starts off with saying the worst day ever.
Yeah, the worst day. Every day is the worst day ever if you really commit yourself to it.
So Jonesy is this awesome character who just happens to have a superpower. And her superpower is that she's able to make people fall in love. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily with other people. It could be other things or ideas. But that's her superpower. And mm-hmm. We picked this book because... just like Sam Humphrey's Green Lanterns, there is a Latino character. Jonesy and her family are Latino.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. I didn't see it as much in this first arc as I did as it continued. But you can kind of see, like, they use, like, some Spanish words and the abuelita.
Yeah, the abuelita. Her dad calls her niña.
Niña. Like that. I always think like that. He pronounces it, niña. Oh.
Yeah.
And he says, ay, niña.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, and it was just, yeah, that was, like, really cute, really cute. And sometimes, like, in my head, I would change it to Mija because...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in my head, yeah, I would do that too. I can't believe
it. I was like, Niña or Mija, those are the most common ones to use because my grandmother in Guatemala, she would call me either Niña or in her, the Guatemalan dialect for kid, which was patojo.
Oh, how cute. Interesting.
Yeah.
Patojo.
Patojo, patoja. Uh-huh. But yeah, and my mom would call me mija,
yeah.
So that's why I was just like, okay, like sometimes I would read niña, and sometimes for some reason I would read mija,
uh-huh.
but it didn't disturb, like,
the storyline at all. One of the things I really like about Jonesy is she breaks that, what is it called, a third wall?
Yeah.
Where she actually talks
yeah.
to the reader. She actually starts off in the first issue as talking to us and
yeah.
introducing herself and her mm-hmm. ferret and her secret crush.
Yeah, she has a pet ferret.
His name's Rocky.
Uh-huh.
And she introduces us. And one of the things I love about this artwork is there was a lot of diversity in
yes.
the artwork, within the artwork.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was in the crowd, I saw, like, a girl with a hijab and...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Am I saying it right? I always feel like I'm saying it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Hijab. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's different types of people within the crowd and in the school.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed mm-hmm. that about the book itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's just... I think that really highlights kind of, like, it's so effortless to include diversity,
even
if it's just in background characters. Even
yeah.
the character's friends. Come on, her friend Farid.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just like, it's so easy. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah,
right?
Her friend mm-hmm. Farid, and then also Susan is a little black girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that this story actually just matter-of-factly, like, mentions, like, love between same-sex couples.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they don't even spotlight it, or
mm-hmm.
they don't even, you know, point a finger at it. It's
yeah.
just something so natural within the story.
Yeah.
That
Susan and Nisha, like.
Right.
So,
yes,
yeah.
when that first came, when I first, I read these in singles, and when that first came out, I also was very hyper-vigilant to the fact that when it came out, when she said that who her secret crush was, I was like, okay, where is this gonna go?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jonesy didn't even blink an eye.
Yeah.
Didn't. She was just like, okay,
like,
she's like, why don't you talk to
her? And I was just like, God, I wish I had that kind of positivity when I was in high school.
So effortless and wonderful and welcoming, even though she's so sarcastic and she hates everything. She hates Valentine's. She hates prom.
Yeah.
But, you know, she, that was something she didn't even think at or think twice or even stutter or pause. It was just perfect.
And speaking about her hating everything, her t-shirts, they are, but it just says no or never.
I think those are great. And I know you guys were mentioning that she has green tips. I just noticed that right now.
Yeah. So
I was like, what is this thing that always follows her?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the artist created her hair with a green coloring, a green tip coloring dye. And in the back of the first trade, the artist is kind of walking us through her development of Jonesy and her sketches, her initial sketches, and how she changed things and why, and what it said to her as a character when she was changing them. And so, and her hair went through a process of different changes too. There was always a color, but it kind of moved from like the like sideburn area to the tips,
like the tips,
to the front bangs, and not until I read this in the back of the book did I even realize that she had tips. I saw this green, but because like Jen says, the art is just so it's, I honestly can't say that I've seen art like this before in a comic. I've seen this art type like in a lot at conventions, like, there's a lot of artists that do have this, this art, but I've never actually seen it in a published comic book before.
Yeah, like I said, because most of that kind of type of art is webcomic art.
Oh, okay.
It's, if you go look at webcomics, a lot of them have this kind of similar type of art. It's a bit, like, cartoon and a bit anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's just which Jonesy happens to love.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Jonesy loves anime.
And it's just like it's something, like I said, that is uniquely webcomic-y.
It reminds me of like that chibi style that's like really popular with artists
style,
right now.
Yeah, the chibi style art. So which I love.
Yes, I do too. But it's just it was funny when I was reading this. I was like, oh, she has green tips, and I went back, and yep, sure enough, there's a little green spot on her hair in every single panel.
That is so cute.
So there is a cast of characters that mostly the story revolves around. Obviously, Jonesy is the main person who is basically trying to just maneuver her way through high school. And we all know what that's like.
Oh, yes, we
you
do.
Know, and actually, now that you mention high school, I felt like it was mostly middle school. To me, it felt like middle school.
It's a bit... Yeah, it felt middle school-y, high school-y, because she said prom, so I was kind of assuming high school.
Yeah. When I first saw it, because of the art style, I thought elementary, middle school, but then as I read the story, I realized that it's high school, and then also in the back, it actually said, it just says disaffected teenager, it doesn't actually really say, like, what grade she's in, but at the end... She and she wanted to get a tattoo, and so I was thinking she must be a little bit of an older teenager, maybe. I don't know.
I think, what is it? I think you can get a tattoo at 16 with a parent's permission.
Oh, okay.
In the state of California.
Did they really get a tattoo?
Yeah, they got a donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a real?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what I thought.
It was a real tattoo.
So,
it was a real donut tattoo.
So I can't imagine a single father trying to impress his daughter, letting her...
I think her dad's just cool like that.
No, he's adorkable.
Adorkable, yes!
When she called him adorkable, I was just like, oh my God, that's the best thing I've heard today. So her dad is another one of the characters. He's a single father. He owns a donut shop, the best donut shop
in town.
And then her abuelita, that we don't really get names, we just get
dad
and abuelita.
And abuelita seems to live
somewhere
far.
Else. Yeah,
I think she lives in Mexico or something
like that.
Somewhere in Central or South America.
And abuelita's like catchphrase that she tells Jonesy, her like motto. Mm-hmm. Eat all who oppose you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh my god. Yeah, when I saw that, at first I thought they were gonna go with like the classic abuelita look, and then she puts on shades and she's all like, eat all who oppose you. And I'm just all like, hey!
Yes, and there is another part in the book where Jonesy is like, I got grounded and what am I gonna do? And she's always calling her abuelita for advice and for support. And her abuelita tells her, you must apologize to your father. Mm-hmm. And then she says, but never to any other man.
Yeah. I love that.
I was like, yes.
I actually wrote that down because I was like, this is cool. Yes,
that's good advice.
Like, and the cool thing was like, she was on a cell phone, right? And she's talking to her abuelita, and her abuelita's getting like massages from like,
yeah, from German.
German.
German. Yeah. German. And I was like, dude, she's like a pimp. She's awesome. And then for her to tell her that, like, you must apologize to your father, but no other man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever.
And I was like, dude, yeah. That's so cool.
Yes, so, and then we get her cast of friends, Farid and then Susan.
Mm-hmm. And with Susan, to remind you, Susan is a popular girl who her mother is the mayor of this town. Mm-hmm. And so Susan feels the pressures of trying to be like a popular and a good girl just to be, because she has
exemplary girl.
Yeah, she has to be like the example for other teens. And she hates it. And there's a moment where her and Jonesy bond about like hating stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's actually when they like become friends. Yeah. And best I thought that bros. Was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I really liked about that is though that sometimes like Susan had been making fun of Jonesy before. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show that like kids, they can bond and like they're very like, they're very resilient. Mm-hmm. And it's just with kids especially, once they connect, once they find something to that they really like or that they can relate to, they become like best friends. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's true. And that's how my current best friend, we became best friends because we both liked anime. Like, yeah. Legit. Like, yeah. Like I remember, like, I believe I was in 10th grade, and I was in my AP chemistry teacher's classroom during lunch, and she came in with her, at the time, friend, who we were both in the group with, and then I'd been reading Death Note, and she's like, is that Death Note? And I was just like, yeah, it is. She's like, I was like, oh, I've read it, too. It's really good. And boom, instant connection. Like, I didn't know her at that time. I had never seen her. I knew Jessica, but I didn't know her. And she just, like, she was just like, we just got both excited so over anime, and now she's my best friend.
Yeah.
And we still keep in contact with each other. I visit her at her dorm constantly now.
That is so cute. But it's true. I mean, and that's one of the things I really loved about this book. I'm so glad you pointed that out, that kids are resilient and they're so open to other kids that have similarities in what they like and something they could bond on. But one of the things I really like about this book is that she's, like you said, sour and she's, you know, sarcastic and, you know, she hates everything. But inside, you know, she's really kind and loving.
Yes.
And I really like the fact that they kind of show that in this book, and also how she can actually put her stuff aside for her friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I really like. And I think that, and also what I like about this book is it goes to show you that you can't judge a book by its cover. So she thought Susan was like the worst, you know?
Yeah. Little Miss Perfect.
And so then in that moment, she found that she was more like her than any other person. So I really like that because if it's in all ages or like maybe teens, I think it goes to show you that maybe there's something you might have in common with that person you dislike or that you think is cool and never approached, you know?
And you touched upon something too that I kind of didn't even think about, but there's this like irony there that she is so sour, she's so negative, she's like everything's the worst, but her freaking superpower is making people fall in love. That's so true.
And that, you know, that is so cool. And you know, I think and I don't know why. I've only read this book, but I feel like the abuelita has some kind of mystical power as well, and she's always known Jonesy's going to have this as well.
And I kind of got the feeling that her dad did, too. He said the hand that quells all argument kind of thing. Like, it could just be a dad thing, but it also could be, like, his own, like, small superpower. And that's what I kind of really liked that as well, is that there's always been, I've had talks with they're like, well, like, what if your, like, superpower is, like, something, like, small? Like, it's not, like, super, super, yeah. or, like, power of flight, laser vision or something. What if it's something, like, IDK, like, maybe arriving everywhere on time, no matter what? Like, it could be, like, having, like, perfect hair or something, or it could be, like... Like, small things yeah. that make your life a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You know what my superpower is? I'm able to fold a fitted sheet. Like, bed sheet.
What? Really?
That's my superpower.
Wow. I can't fold fitted sheets.
I can't either.
I could do that on my own. So I'm like, when I posted on Facebook, I'm like, oh, folding my fitted sheet. Everybody's like, oh my God, you know how to do that by yourself? And I was like, what's the big deal? then I noticed everybody couldn't do it. So I was like, oh, that's my superpower. Ever since then, I'm like, that's my superpower. It's small, but it makes my life easy. Like, like every laundry day. Like, when I do laundry.
I try to do it, and I always start off really well, and then I just end up, like, like pulling it into a bowl, and then just stuffing it. And I'm like, oh, it's just going to go back on the bed anyway.
Yeah, it's just going to go back on the bed.
So, but that's true. That the hand that quells could be his superpower.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because there was, like, no, she didn't have any retort. It was, like,
yeah. And
she's like, don't do it, Dad. Don't. It's going up.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about this comic is that originally it was just scheduled to be a mini series, but it was so well liked and got so much great acclaim that it's ongoing. It's still coming out now. I'm not sure what issue they're on now.
I think they might be on 9 now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I read it through to the next story arc, but I can't remember how many issues it was. So I think that's really cool and just a testament to how awesome that Humphreys did with this story and how well he does with all ages and writing younger characters.
Mm-hmm. Latino younger characters.
Yes, Latino.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing really good. I mean, I really liked her. It's not something that's, like, magnified upon. It's just something that just happens to be in the story. Just like everything mm-hmm. else. And I like how matter of fact and how, like, innocent and how the approach, the unmagnified approach on, like, diversity, the unmagnified approach on same-sex love and, you know, like, her being Latina. It's not something that's, like, oh, like, you know, it's just part of the story.
And one thing I really appreciate about his writing, too, any writer that can write a teen believably, I give all the props. Because, I mean, in my professional life, I worked with teens for most of my career. And it really grates on my nerves when writers are trying to force quote-unquote teen speak.
Oh, God.
The teen flag.
I hate that.
The stuff in here it flowed very, very true to life as far as I'm concerned. And I would read some of the stuff and kind of giggle to myself because I'm like, that is like, it really, really works.
Yeah, he has a great grasp on the voice of teens, for sure. Teen girls. This, like I said, like we all said, she reminds us of us at some point in our teen years, definitely. There was also the Butt Brothers. I really enjoyed that.
The Butt Brothers.
And that was kind of a play on the title of their band, the Butt Brothers. Uh-huh. And then they turned out to be actually homosexual. So I was like, oh, I get it now. I didn't get it at first. I thought it was a fart thing.
I never even thought of that.
No, you know what? I had to read it twice because I'm like, Butt Brothers? Oh my God, it's so funny. But it's something like that.
Yeah, because they had a crush on Stuff too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Stuff?
Yeah.
But we're not just saying Stuff like crap and
like
stuff.
Like things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're saying Stuff as Stuff is an actual character in the story. And he is a pop star.
Yes.
He's a famous celebrity.
And he's
singer.
Jonesy's quote-unquote secret crush that everyone knows about.
Anyone who reads her zine.
Yeah.
And so the Butt Brothers steal her zines because they love Stuff.
So they don't want to admit it, but
they don't. Yeah, because they're so punk rock, but they love stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's so cool. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when she happens upon them, they're kissing her book.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, you're ruining my book. But I thought that was really funny. But again, they don't really highlight or magnify that. It was just part of the story. She didn't even talk about that. It was all about her Zines and getting them yeah. back. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
yeah. This guy called Stuff. I mean. This guy named Stuff? This yeah. guy's Stuff. he's a really interesting character to me because the way she describes him and some of his lyrics, it just reminds me of a David Bowie.
Oh, I was going to say like a K-pop star.
Yeah, yeah. That, it's like a K-pop David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. He's like, he has a persona that he's like a space prince who's been stranded on Earth.
Yes.
And it's literally so hilarious, but like what I find really funny is that at that age too, I was really super into K-pop, and I was just like, oh my god, like I love him like so much, like the kind of like no, he's mine, like the girl movie, like no, he's my boyfriend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I imagined Jonesy to be like.
Yeah.
And when she showed Susan, who is into a different style, a different genre of music,
yes.
stuff, like, I specifically remember trying to drag my friends into liking K-pop, and whenever I would, I'd be like, oh my god, what do you think? Like
I need you to love it.
I need you to love it. I need you to, like, I didn't know this at the, this word at the time, but I was just like, I need you to validate me and my feelings. And some of them did, and some of them were just like, well, it's nice, I guess, but I don't really like, it's not really my thing. It's
and
okay.
Jen never spoke to those girls
and
again.
And I never spoke to them again. And I still don't. No, oh, I'm just God. Kidding. But it was just like, it's high school. Like, yeah. Like what I love about this is that Jonesy is so extra. And it's just like, she's like extra capital E with the little trademark sign. Like,
and interestingly enough, the different style of music that Susan is into is country music.
Yeah,
right. And she wants to be a country singer. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really cool because it's just like we were saying, there's just like diversity everywhere, and mm-hmm. it works. It does not feel forced at all.
Yeah, and she wasn't like, ew, you like country. I mean, none of that ever happened throughout the book, which I really appreciate. Like,
yeah.
Ew, I can't believe you like that.
Yeah.
Or, ew, like, it was, like, always, like, you know, kindly. Like, oh, I don't like that. You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing. But it was great.
Yeah, and just like any teenager, she can definitely be self-involved. And there's some situations that happen in here where she kind of does some things that feel bad to her friends. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that she is very self-aware and she realizes, oh, I kind of screwed up. And even with her dad, you know, and she's like, okay, I know I have to apologize. And even when the dad comes home and she's trying to hide and then she realizes he's in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I have something to say and you know what it is. And he's like, nope, I don't. He forces her to tell him she's sorry.
Yeah.
But even that was really well intended because she didn't want him to get hurt again.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we now find out what happened. And that was one of the things that I was wondering in the first two issues of the book was, where's the mom?
Yeah.
You know, because we always see Latinas with their moms, you know.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it's always the kid with the mom. So I was thinking she was dead, but we find out that actually they divorced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the dad got the custody of
yeah.
Jonesy. So
mm-hmm.
that was really interesting to me.
I really have to say that one of the best issues I read is when the mom comes back.
What?
Oh
my
god. There is a whole issue dedicated to Jonesy and Jonesy's mom's relationship, and it was amazing.
Really?
It was really cool.
I actually think that
I shed a tear.
You know, I can't wait because when Jonesy had an issue about, you know, what was going on with her dad, she called her grandma. She didn't call
yes.
her mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
And also, going back to, like, even though she, you know, did her dad wrong, she was well-intended because she didn't, again, want him to get hurt.
Yeah.
So I really want to know what kind of relationship. Because
yeah.
she describes it describes it as, I swear I speak English, right? Her dad makes donuts. He has a donut shop. Her, mm-hmm. So, of course, it's his favorite thing. He actually ate cupcakes for a year.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So.
The way that they handle, or the way that they, the story evolves around why Jonesy's mom isn't around and her relationship with Jonesy and just all of the interlinks of mother-daughter relationships and everything is really, really well written and handled in that issue. So I highly, highly recommend that you continue to read. And also the stuff. I really enjoyed, and I really liked how that ended as well. I would definitely recommend this book to people who are looking for books to recommend to young and teen girls, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's no negative portrayal of females in here, as far as just like, you know, it definitely passes the Bechdel test.
Yes, definitely.
I like that.
So yeah, I highly would recommend that you continue to read.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I mean, just you kind of mentioning the mom issue, I'm just like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I totally want to read it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, girls, I mean, you guys have really opened my eyes to a whole different genre of books, like the all ages for preteens or kids. I would never glance at it twice, ever. Like, mm-hmm. that's not something that I would even pick up.
Yeah.
And being here, this is the second book that we read for kids or preteens or teens that has no bad words or, like, violence and stuff. And they are sensational.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, girls, because if it weren't for you, I would never read a book like this. And I'm just so moved by them.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's something that I actually feel like I can relate to, mm-hmm. or have been like, or can mimic myself in one of the characters. So I really enjoyed this.
Yes.
Hooray.
Hooray. So how many conchas do you give it?
Oh, my God. I give it three. What is it? The maximum was three, right?
Yeah.
Three chocolate conchas champurrado. Yeah. and maybe an empanada. That, I think, yes.
Yeah, I definitely am going full out for the three conchas. My favorite is the pink one. So, three pink conchas.
Nice.
And, and champurrado and, empanadas and the little, what's the little piggy?
That's it.
The little piggy. Yeah.
Really cool.
I also give it the three chocolate conchas and, vaso de champurrado and two empanadas.
Nice. In this book, I mean, in this first book, the volume one, what was your favorite favorite page or favorite part of the book in general? Like, for me, it was that rant she went on when she almost got caught by the
principal. Yeah.
And she goes on, like, I think it was, like, three panels of three bubbles of full dialogue on love and stuff. And I was like, oh, I love her. That was wonderful. That was some great writing right there.
Yeah. My favorite part was definitely the abuelita when she was telling Jonesy that she had to apologize to her father, but then she made sure to tell her, and no other man ever.
That was so cool.
My favorite part definitely has to be when she and her dad are talking after he comes back from his date.
Uh-huh.
And
and
he's just like, she apologizes, and then she tells him, like, I just don't want you to get hurt and stuff like that. And I'm just like, yeah, that was like a really touching scene that made me kind of like a little bit teary-eyed. I'm just like,
yeah. And I really liked how realistic it was, how he explained to her, look, we went out, we had a good time, but it just didn't go anywhere, and that happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably gonna go out on other dates too, and that's gonna happen again, and and it's scary. And mm-hmm. the fact that he actually was open with her and was kind of like really raw with her, I really appreciated that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was, he didn't even dumb it down.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Yeah.
He was, like, straightforward, like, you know, this is just something that's going to happen. You know, I am a grown-up, and I understand what is involved in this, and this is what's, you know, what's probably going to happen more than once, and you can't worry about me, you know, like, you know, we have to do this. This is part of life kind of thing. I love that.
Yeah, and I just really like, because that moment, that part, he really screamed Latino dad to me.
Yeah.
Because Latino dads never, like, they don't pussyfoot around.
Yeah.
they're straight up. They're, no, or at least most of my experience with my fathers and my padrinos and other people, other Latino fathers has been like, they're like, this is how it is and this is how it's going to be.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I like that. So, guys, we love the book. So, if you are around a comic book shop, we really highly recommend you read this. It is really awesome. If you have kids, get it for them. Read it with them, or read it before them, or read it to them. Definitely. It's a great book, guys.
It's Jonesy Volume 1 by Sam Humphries, and the artist is Caitlin Rose Boyle.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, guys.
Yay!
Yay!
So, speaking about how you were saying that you really enjoyed this all ages genre, really brings to mind how, as an adult, I've always loved all ages.
Really?
Continued reading all ages into my early 20s. And even now, you know, I read the all ages comics when they come in, and it looks interesting to me. And that is actually kind of leads into what my on the radar this week is.
Excellent, guys. Hey. What is on the radar?
My on the radar this week is a new Marvel title of an old Marvel character. Those of you that don't know, Man-Thing, number one, came out this week on Wednesday, and the person who is writing it is one of the all-time best YA writers ever. R.L. Stine is writing Man-Thing.
Hey!
Fatality.
That's so freaking cool.
So for those of you who aren't familiar with R.L. Stine, he is the genius behind Goosebumps. So, as our airplane flies by.
And I think at least, like, if no one's ever read them as a kid, then they're at least familiar with the covers or have seen them. Because, like, it's so prevalent. Like, who didn't read this in elementary school or didn't see someone reading it or was, in my case, dared to read it?
And I was already older when the Goosebumps started coming out, but my brother is 12 years younger than I am, and so when he kind of got to reading age, it was one of the only things that he enjoyed reading, so I would buy a whole bunch and give them to him, and I would read them too, and I really, really loved them. And even I was talking earlier about how that the dummy one, just the cover, used to freak me out, and reading it, I mean, and I remember in college babysitting, and then the kids I babysat having Goosebumps, and so I read them because they're a quick read, and being alone all by myself, I'm like, okay, I'm like 20-something here, and being freaked out by these kids' books, but R.L. Stine was the master.
Yep.
There was a show, right? Goosebumps?
Yes. There was.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes.
I love
there was
that
a show.
TV show. Yeah.
And then, of course, guys, the movie.
The movie. I didn't see the movie.
I enjoyed the effects. I enjoyed how the story, how they made it work and stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
And then I think Netflix is going to be doing
a series. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, for them as well. Because Netflix is really getting on board. Like, they're they're bringing back Bill Nye. They're doing, they did the series of Unfortunate Events and did it justice.
Yeah.
And now they're doing Goosebumps as well.
I did see that somewhere. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing to me about R.L. Stine is that I was doing a little research, and he actually has talked multiple times about the fact that growing up, his goal in life, his dream, was to be a comic book artist.
No way!
Hey, talk about coming full circle!
Whoa.
So, interestingly enough, I guess he'd been in talks with Marvel on doing a series. And Marvel offered him many different characters, but he finally chose Man-Thing because he says that, like, swamp characters were, like, his jam. Because he had just written them so much in Goosebumps.
Oh, okay.
So it was one of his favorite things to write. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 5-issue series. And the cool thing about it, I've read the first one. It's kind of, I don't have any past history with reading Man-Thing. I've read Swamp Thing, and I know a lot of people get those two mixed up. One is DC and one's Marvel. But Man-Thing apparently never spoke before. And that's something that's different. Stein has, he does a little bit of a backstory of how he has gained the power of speech. And also sentience, but I guess that's something different that he's changed. But it's a 5-issue series, and in the back of every issue is a short horror story written by R.L. Stine.
What?
That has, has nothing to do with the Man-Thing. And it's,
I love
and
those little secret surprises.
And they're all written by guest artists. I mean, they're all drawn by guest artists. I read the first issue. It lays, you know, some groundwork for the basis of the story moving forward. And he's also said that his thing, and if you any of you have read Goosebumps, you know, he loves things to be creepy. He loves things to be, you know, the horror genre-y type stuff. But he also loves humor. And so he is going to, he says he promises lots of horror. He promises lots of creepy and some nice violence. But Man-Thing is also going to be very sarcastic and funny.
Excellent. Nice. That's
so
awesome.
I enjoyed the first issue. The story in the back was really good. Was really, really good. I don't want to say I liked it better than Man-Thing because so pretend I didn't say it, but know that it's true.
I like that. I like that. Okay.
So that's my on the radar. So if you're an R.L. Stine fan, definitely pick it up just for the nostalgia factor. And I had no idea. I'm freaking old, man. I feel old knowing that R.L. Stine is 73 years old.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So he's still working, and he's writing Man-Thing for Marvel. So definitely pick it up. It's worth your
$3.99. Nice. Excellent. Nice. That's awesome. What is your on the radar, Jen?
So my on the radar is actually, it's a bit late, but America Number One by Marvel. It was released about 2 weeks ago now, but oh my god, it's really great. So if anybody ever read the Young Avengers series by Karen Gillan and McKelvey, you know that America Chavez is a character. She's from a parallel universe that basically reached utopia status. Like actual legit utopia, and she was and her mom's, because she was raised by two moms, died saving this parallel universe, in helping it like reach utopia status, and she really idolized her mother's, and so she's just like, I want to save the universe as well, and so she leaves the perfect utopia and goes to Earth and the other multiverses so that she can help be a, so that she can be a superhero and help people. And one of the really cool things about her is that, one, she's a Latina.
Right.
She's Latina. Sorry, I blanked out there for a moment. And the writer for America is Gabby Rivera, who is also a Latina queer woman, because America Chavez is also, she's a lesbian. And I was just like, talk about a book that caters to me. Hell yes. Because as been mentioned before, I am bisexual, and I just, to see a Latina character who's awesome, kick-ass, can jump multiverses, is good friends with Hawkeye, and can keep Loki in line. Like, well, this was Kid Loki at the time. It was just like, I loved her, and I'm so happy that she has her own solo title now. And the art is done by Joe Quinones. I hope I'm saying his name right. Joe Rivera and Paolo Rivera. So it's a very Hispanic Teen, and it was, I absolutely loved it. It was really, really good because it's established that she wants to take a stop from a pause from the superhero scene and really kind of like do something else. So she decides to go to college in different universities.
Interesting.
In the multiverse. So she's enrolled in many colleges and stuff like that. And in the first book, we see her, she's rushing to go to class after saving a planet, and she's late, and her professor is just like, I don't care who you are, you need to be on class on time. And I'm just like, oh, I've been there. And it's really great. I love the art. The artwork is beautiful. And like I said, I fell in love with America Chavez when she came out in Young Avengers, mm-hmm. and then she came out in A-Force, and then she was in the Ultimates, and where then she later is the leader of the Ultimates, mm-hmm. and now she finally has her own solo title, and I'm just like, yes, thank you.
Awesome, that is so cool. That is really awesome. So only one issue is out now. Is it monthly, mm-hmm. or biweekly?
It is monthly.
Not biweekly,
yeah.
Every 2 weeks. I don't know how to say that. I don't know why I keep saying biweekly. Sorry, guys.
Because it can be translated as both. Like, the English language is weird.
I really like, though, there is kind of a trend in some of the, comic books, of us seeing the kind of like behind the scenes of what do superheroes do when they're not superheroing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. I really like seeing the humanity behind who they are, behind what they do. It really, I think, endears me to the character a lot more. So I really appreciate that Marvel is doing some of that with their characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
And I really love that. And I think a person who really kickstarted that was Matt Fraction.
Yeah, I was going to say Matt Fraction with Hawkeye.
With Hawkeye, but even before that, like really before he did it with Iron Fist, as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we read it, like you really got to see, like, besides his superhero stuff, like what he did, what he does, like he kind of has his own things going on with, like, the Immortal Weapons and everything. But, like, you see, like, his magnum opus in Hawkeye, mm-hmm. where it's just like, what does Hawkeye do when he's not being a superhero?
Yeah.
He is still kicking ass, but more locally.
Nice. That's really cool. Well, on my radar is, you know how we're like big fans of the Hernandez brothers?
Yes.
Yes. Well, if you go to www.pinupgirlclothing.com, they are now selling these skirts that have the prints of the characters along the hemline.
Oh my gosh!
And then actual dresses with the characters, and they're all kind of a pinuppy style, so they cater to like full-figured women as well.
I will wear the
that
shit out
is
of that.
Amazing. Yeah, so, and this particular dress is like a luchadora print.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I need that dress.
Oh yes.
So it's really cool. Like that is so on my radar. I want to do this. Then he has like the kind of a space. We haven't got.
Oh my god, the retro space girls. Oh yes. My god, I need that. I need. That.
I love the full figure skirt where it has all the characters kind of on the
I love that.
But I really like the wrestling one. That one's really cool. So again, guys, that's www.pinupgirlclothing.com. And then just look up on the search bar if you're looking through the website and, you know, you don't want to go through everything. Just type in love on the website and the search bar.
Love and Robinson.
Put love. And it came up. So I didn't even have to do the whole thing.
Nice.
So, it's super stylish, and it's celebrating the 35th anniversary of Love and Rockets.
Oh, my
gosh.
So,
yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's a little pricey, but I think it's worth it because that, you know, where else are you going to find that print for sure?
I've dropped $65 for a custom-made dress, and that was pretty cheapish. Yeah, that was pretty cheap, actually. Some of them can go up to $300, $500.
Exactly. Also, guys, on the radar is to the listeners, we are going to be finishing our episode right now, but if you stick around after the outro music, we are going to be going on a full-on review of Logan. So if you haven't seen Logan, please do not continue. We do not want to spoil it for you. But then come back and listen to our full spoiler after our outro song. So so stick around for that. So does that conclude our episode, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. So, again, guys, listeners, stay tuned for episode 10 where we're going to have a free giveaway, but it's going to be... it's not going to be easy, like, dial in the first caller or the first person who messages us on Facebook. It's going to be an actual comic-related activity of some sort. We haven't discussed that yet, but we will have a prize for you guys. Also, full-on Logan review after the outro song. Any shout-outs, guys?
Well, as always, follow us on Instagram at Comadres eComics.
Or follow us on Twitter, or shoot us a tweet, or if you have any questions, you can at us at Comic Comadres.
Excellent. You could always find us on Facebook at too, Comadres y Comics. And also, if you'd like to review us on iTunes, please do so. We'd really appreciate it. Also, shout out to all the other podcasters out there who, you know, get together around a table or through Skype or whatever and put out some decent stuff, talk to us. I don't know what I'm trying to say. That talk
keep
to
doing your
that,
thing.
That, yeah, keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
That talk to us, but not to us directly is what I was trying to say. thanks everybody for putting out content, and thank you listeners for being out there listening to us. We have been your hosts. I am Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jennifer.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand.
Hello,
up.
Guys. This is our review of Logan. What did you guys think?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to cry with a bunch of other people and just, like, communally cry at a movie theater? Because I did.
So true. My God. I was like, where is the tissue? Cause my, and then the tears were streaming down my cheeks, like, mm-hmm. and I could feel them puddle up under my yeah. double chin. I was like, my God, what are you doing to me? This was by far the best movie right now for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The best superhero movie for me, it's Logan,
yeah.
for sure right now, until it gets, you know, toppled by whatever Marvel's bringing out next.
Yeah.
But this one, my God, I mean, I was so impressed with the whole production of it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys like the most?
The most? Ooh, damn. This
I know, right?
Let
me just go through episodes of what I loved. I loved the fact that they really... like shone a light on how elderly person kind of feels. Xavier, this man who was like a man amongst
yeah.
men, a leader of the X-Men, mm-hmm. the mentor of so many mutants.
Omega level mutant.
Mutant, yeah. exactly. His brain is classified as a
weapon of mass destruction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His brain, guys. Mm-hmm. Weapon of mass destruction. This is a momentous, like a you know, mountain of a man, you know, with the reputation and the fuerza and courage and everything, being reduced to being overly medicated.
Yeah.
Bound
to seizures. Of course, we all knew he couldn't walk, but this is even worse because he has no strength to do anything
yeah.
on his own.
That that scene where Logan is helping him into the bathroom.
Oh, that mm-hmm. broke my heart.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at you. It's like, I could do this by myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. Right. And it's just, yeah, it really shines a light on, like, what it is to take care of the elderly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. And one of the most heartbreaking scenes to me was, and, well, we already said spoiler alert.
Yeah. But, oh, did we? Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. was, when, Logan is giving him his medications.
Yeah.
And they're in the fallen over silo. And Xavier tells him, you were such a disappointment. And oh, I was just God. Like, oh,
I was sobbing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe you said that to me.
I was just like, I already knew this movie was going to be sad once they were playing Johnny Cash's Hurt in the trailer. And I was just like, fuck me up.
Yes. When I first saw that trailer, I was sitting in, I think I was in Hideo. I was sitting in Hideo Comics just crying.
Yeah, you were.
I'm already crying just thinking about the trailer,
guaranteed way to make me cry is play Johnny Cash anything, and it's just like
and with the imagery of Logan older and Professor X, that just magnifies this. Oh my God, emotions!
Look, if we start crying, you know
why. I don't know. We're gonna just warn you. We're gonna cry. I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's just that hit me the most because one of like. My fears, one of my biggest fears that to this day it still haunts me and will haunt me forever is being a disappointment to my parents.
But and see, I hate to cut you off. I don't think any child is a disappointment to their parent. Mm-hmm. But I think what happened is Xavier was so...
he was lashing out.
He was lashing out. And
I don't think he meant it, but...
He didn't mean it, but I think he said it to hurt him. Yeah. But it was like... you threw a way too big of a rock, dude. But I could understand because he was hurt, and I understand that he's like, this isn't living. Mm-hmm. You only medicate me. I mean, the dialogue between Logan and Professor X about Professor X's care.
Where he tells him, like, you're only waiting for me to die. And I was just like, oh my God, like, because that... It's as sad as it is for some people, for some elderly people, it's true. Yeah. Their family is just waiting for them to die. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God.
I mean, they did not pull any punches with the dialogue.
They didn't pull any punches at all. And so when I saw that, I was just like, holy shit, this movie's truly gonna fuck me up.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Like, at first, to cut you off, I'm so sorry, when he's, like, kind of trucking around in his wheelchair, like, senile, like, talking all this gibberish, and I was like, oh, no, Xavier's gonna be all, like, not here, you know? Mm-hmm. But then this strong dialogue throughout the movie is just, and it's stuff that moves the heck out of you.
Yeah.
Like, on every level. On the level with the tiny mutant and the level of the X-Men that are gone. On everything. The state of the world. I mean, it was just their dialogue, their relationship, the way that they are now, or in that alternate reality, was just so real and raw. I just... Dude.
Going back to your original query, though, I think I've narrowed it down, like, truly what my favorite scene was. And it was when Logan and X-24 are fighting in the forest with all the kids over there. And Robot Hand Dude, I forget his name.
I don't remember his name either.
All I know is that he was a Reaver. But he's, like, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Besides X-24. Is, In that scene, when he's fighting them, and you see the kids finally show off their powers as they're trying to escape, I think that has to be my favorite scene, even though it was heartbreaking. And Richter, when he gets mad, and then you can see him lift the freaking car up, like, he's so angry, and it's just, I love the fact that all these kids, they're Latinos, they're Hispanic, they're Mexican. They're specifically
all
Mexican.
Their mothers, all of them, their mothers are Mexican.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so every single one of them is Mexican. I was just like,
way to go.
Way to go. And it's just like, it didn't go by me, the fact that the leader to them, Richter, is a Hispanic kid. Leading these children to the border for the hope of a new world.
Right, exactly.
And I was just like, oh my God. Like, goddamn. Like, goddamn.
Like, it speaks to us, like, to know these characters and have them age and have, like, the malices of age and, you know, like, how you're, you know, wasting away and your muscle tone and, you know, you're not the same person. Yeah. You're coughing, you have an alcoholic abuse problem, and all of that. And where was I going with this? My God. Sorry. Go on. I can't even remember what it was.
It was so emotional. Yeah. She can't even speak.
Going a bit off of that, it was just, like, the dynamic, the fact that He's old. Yeah. He's so old. You can see it from when he pops his claws and one of them doesn't fully come out. And he has to pull it out before he can, like retract it back. And, like, how his hands shake. He has probably some form of arthritis. The fact that he's...
He can't see anymore.
He can't see properly. He needs to
wear, like, those reading glasses.
He needs to wear, like, reading glasses. And all that. He's not young. And then to see... All these kids right there, they're young, they're full of life, they're full of hope, and then there's him who's like, he's just like, that's it, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore, anybody I love or care for dies or end up getting hurt or I end up like this.
Oh my gosh, that scene there where he says that to X-23 and she says, and she tells him, then I guess I'm fine, and walks away. I was just like, oh my god,
killed me. Like, in that moment I wanted death. I was just like, it would probably hurt less than what this movie is making me feel right now.
Exactly. And I mean, I love the fact that the characters, for instance, X-23, for the first half of the movie, she doesn't speak. I actually think she was a feral child that was not able to, and I'm like, how can she not have picked up some language? Like, I don't understand the, you know, the nurses and everything. But she does in fact speak. But the thing was that I love how you felt for these characters even though she didn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual acting and the face and the expressions, they acted upon each other like Wolverine and her and Professor X and her and those, that lovely family that took them in for a night.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was like, maybe
it's not going to happen. I thought
the same. I was throughout the whole movie, I was just like, please, 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 please tell me nothing happens to the family. Please tell me. And I almost... It almost came true, and then
sass.
Yeah.
Sass. Like, oh my god. No, and the part that really fucked me up though was Professor X, when he was in the bed, and he was just like, I remember what happened in Westchester. Oh. And he says, I don't deserve, because like they've had like a really nice family moment with this other family that provided them food and shelter. Right. And he's, Professor X, he's in bed, Charles is in bed, and he, you see, like, in the doorway a shadow, and he says, it's Logan. And previously in the movie before, he had said, I know you anywhere, I know who you are, I know how you feel, like, mind-wise.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, and he tells him, like, I'll recognize you anywhere, even when I'm senile, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Even if I don't remember your name.
Yeah.
And so, we see the silhouette in the background, and Charles is talking. He's telling him, "This has been such a good
moment. This is what real life is like.
Yeah, this is what real life is like. This is what family is like." And then he starts getting choked off because he's saying, "And I don't deserve it." And I was just like, oh my god!
What did you do with Westchester?
And then he's just like, "I remember what happened in Westchester," and I was just like, what happened in Westchester? But then the fact that he said, I don't deserve this.
Yo, your thing is unplugged.
It is? Why can I hear myself?
No, I can hear her.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Right. Wait.
Your thing's unplugged.
Something, when you pulled that, it was,
Okay.
Sorry.
My bad.
Okay. Yeah, and I was just like, oh my god. And then you see, and then he turns around and you see that it's not Logan, it's X-24.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
Yeah. It was horrible, dude. I just couldn't stop crying.
I was like, oh my god.
I'm like, please don't, please don't, please don't. And all I kept thinking is like, if he were okay, then he could maybe tap into X-24. Like, I was like, we need you, Professor. Don't go.
Yeah. And it's just like, I didn't realize, like at the time, I was just like, why didn't he use his powers? And then someone brought up the fact, like, I guess it wasn't, like, in a review or something, is the fact that Professor X thought X-24 was Logan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That he was Logan because he felt exactly like him. So when X-24 stabbed him, he thought it had been
Logan. Oh, yeah.
He thought he had been betrayed until Logan comes and picks him up.
And it's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Like, it wasn't him. And I was just like, oh, fuck me up.
Yes. One of the main things that I really love about this movie is the action. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I think this is a movie for everyone. It's for men and women. Uh-huh. We love the bonding and, you know, the story character development, and there's a lot of great violence. The way we've always wanted to see a Wolverine movie. Yeah. I mean, I've always mm-hmm. wanted to see him put, like, his claws on the bottom of someone's chin and having them come out of his head. Yeah. That's like my, and then, or him running towards somebody and slashing their head.
I mean, it was in the trailer, but that scene where he's running and just flying through the air, yeah. And his back arched, mm-hmm. was just like seeing it in the movie. With the rest of the story around it. Yes, it was mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah. And that, in that same note, one of the most powerful scenes that would just kind of put me in a state for this movie, like holding on to, you know, my chair and saying, okay, I'm ready, was when X-23 comes out after they've been attacked, and she comes out and she throws a head. She throws a head at them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my god.
That was so hardcore.
She just decapitated a man and threw his head at these people. I'm like, whoa, that's fucking awesome. I'm like, I love the way she screamed. I mean, it was so primal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like her fighting style was so feral and so uncontrolled and unbound.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And this young lady, Daphne Keene.
Yeah.
My God, she has my heart. I love her. First of all, I've always said when a character speaks Spanish in a movie or something, it makes them super sexy. It's inappropriate to say sexy towards her because she's a 10 or 11-year-old girl, but it's fucking phenomenal. When I heard her speak Spanish, I was just like, what? What? The?
And then I heard her speak Spanish, and it was flawless Spanish.
Yes, it was flawless
Spanish, and I was just like, they did that.
They did.
They did that.
Yeah, I always hate when they put like a like all Latino character and they have like a really heavy like other accent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, aw, we could have done better, guys.
Yeah. But
it's just as phenomenal as oh my god. I can't believe it.
I know.
Diego Luna.
Yes,
Diego Luna keeping his accent
exactly.
Rogue One.
Exactly. I mean, it's all kind of different, kind of beautiful is what it mm-hmm. is. It's a different kind of wonderful, beautiful. Or like when somebody that you know only speaks English and tries to speak to you in Spanish, you're like, oh, yay. Yeah, I love that. And I mean, this character, and they're comparing her to Natalie Portman's Professional movie.
Oh, uh-huh.
Of course, this Daphne Keene has been acting since she was 4 years old. And she has background in martial arts,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
explains the amazing action moves, the fighting. Oh, my God. She's just, I want to be her.
I read an article somewhere where the producers and the directors and the casting people were like, okay, we have this, like, pie in the sky of a young girl who can act, who can emote without speaking, who can do the martial arts stuff, and is bilingual. Mm-hmm. And they thought they were going to have to give on one of them to mm-hmm. get two of them, or, you know, or vice versa. They never in their wildest dreams imagined that they'd be able to get all three. So,
okay.
And she proved them wrong 100 times over.
You look hard enough. You will find. You will find the one.
She is amazing. First of all, her acting skills are so good. Most of the movie, she's just acting with her face
mm-hmm,
and her
mm-hmm.
eyes, mostly her eyes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, her body language with all that violence and her claws and the way she used them. It was just magical. And then, like, just her emotion when she spoke, like, mm-hmm. and then how she was trying to do her broken English because she only speaks Spanish. It was mm-hmm. just great. It was wonderful. She's going places, man, I tell you. That girl is amazing.
Yeah.
My God. I just want to be her now.
I would love to follow her. The way that we followed Wolverine over these last 17 years.
Absolutely.
I would love to follow her as X-23 and see her come into her own and have her own Wolverine movie. That would be amazing.
Come on, FX. Give me Gen X. Give me Gen X. Like, oh, my God. Like, now I can definitely say FX has finally done justice to one of their X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Or to two of their X-Men.
Yes.
Shoot. Like, I love Deadpool, but we all know the story of Deadpool, how it got no support, and he had very low budgeting, and, like, Fox didn't want, like, this movie to happen,
yeah.
But it did, and it was a hit. And that's what paved the way for Logan. For Logan. And see what can be done when a movie has the support of Fox, has the budget and has everything, even though we've heard that Hugh Jackman actually had to take a pay cut
exactly
to make
right?
Logan. Like, yeah. I was like, come on, like, you guys seriously didn't think this movie was gonna succeed?
Yeah.
And it is right now one of the highest grossing movies out right now. Like, really? Come on. 85.1 million on opening weekend.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
My God. And I want to go watch it again.
I do too.
I actually am gonna go probably sometime either Monday or Sunday, depending on if we do the thing, with my siblings to go see it again. And I'm just like, get ready for the ugly cry again.
Oh, total ugly cry. Oh my God, total ugly cry. I went to see it with my nephew, and he had previously seen it, and he was, like, nudging me. He's like, get ready. And I'm like, but he didn't account for me feeling so much for Xavier.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, one of the other times I really, really sobbed really ugly, like, ugly, ugly, and my nephew was like, why are you crying? was when they were showing, after they had the success of creating X-24, what they were doing with all the ones previous to him, and how they were disposing of them.
Yeah, how Gabriella was saving, and the other nurses were saving the kids and having to run, like, oh my God,
I was just like crying. He's like, why are you crying? And I was like, what are they doing to these kids?
Yeah.
They're just kids. And I mean, the kid that threw himself from the roof, I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, a lot of kind of suicidal trigger warnings and stuff. And, like, I get why they can't put them and stuff like that, but no, just, like,
for the whole movie just needed to be, like,
one giant trigger warning.
Yeah.
Get ready to be really fucked up, you guys.
Absolutely. I love all the characters, even Caliban. I was like, no, you know, like, for a while I was like, oh my God, he's gonna betray them. But then when he's like, beware the light, that was
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my like, God. Talk about a redemption.
Yeah,
right? Like,
oh.
He was just like, beware the light, and boom.
Boom.
Like, oh
like,
holy shit.
You just, you're in my heart too. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's in my heart.
You made it, dude. You made it.
Yeah. And that dude with the robot hand, again, I don't know who, the bad guy, I don't know what his name is. Even the way he approached Wolverine, where he's like, I'm a fan. Like, even though he was running after them to kill them and dispose of them, he actually respected them as who they were at their highest point. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really loved about this movie was the use of the comic book X-Men in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was great, too. I kind of thought, oh, that's a little kind of shout-out to us fans that have read X-Men in the past, you know? And I love how Wolverine is like, this isn't how it happened. This is just comic books.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they take an idea and they kind of overdo it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. Like, yes, that is comic book. Yeah, it was really great. I really enjoyed it. The whole thing was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Just great. It was down to Professor X's age spots. I mean, it was to the T, just amazing.
Yeah.
It was great. You know, we see Logan is suffering from some kind of terminal illness, and he just doesn't want to diagnose himself. He doesn't want to give in.
Well, I was talking about this after I saw the movie, and the way that he spoke and the way that it kind of played out in the movie, it was as if the adamantium was poisoning him.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe as well that the adamantium was radiating some kind of radioactivity that had poisoned him throughout the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that.
And then you couple that with alcoholism.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All the regenerative powers in the world will not stop your liver from processing and dying.
Yeah, it was just, he knew what it was, but he also wasn't doing anything to, like, even try to help him, like, maybe have more years of life. If anything, Professor Xavier had told X-23, she said, he told me to take care of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To not let you die, because if you just want to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. And she was right. And yeah, he was right. I mean, he was just going through the motions, mm-hmm, you know, and I'm mm-hmm not even sure why he went on for so long doing these motions. I mean, he had to cross the border to get medicine for Professor X's seizures and mm-hmm his dementia, and he had recruited Caliban, who can't go in the sun,
yeah,
to take care of him while he was working to get money. Mm-hmm. His plan was to actually go away and buy a boat. But I don't know to what end that was. I don't know if it was like a mission to go on this boat and commit suicide, because then how would he get his medications? I mean, I think it was one of those things where they were going to just go off into the iceberg, you know?
Yeah. It was just like, I got the feeling that it was them buying it. So, one, Xavier wouldn't hurt anybody like he did.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
In the ocean, who are you going to hurt?
Yeah,
nobody.
Yeah.
And he has a wide range. We can see that. So, if he ever does have one of these attacks, mm-hmm, he won't be affecting anybody, really. But then, like, once he dies, it's just like no one would be able to use his brain, for one.
That's true.
And because that was an actual comic book plot point, yeah, at one time. And then after that, like, Wolverine, he's just like, well, my job's done. Boom, bullet, like...
That's true. He was carrying mm-hmm an adamantium bullet with him at yep all times.
Yeah.
Why? And again, I think he was carrying with the burden of having people hurt through Xavier. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm I think that was interesting. Of course, I don't think he even thought of what he was going to do with Caliban at that moment. I don't know. Because he can be out in the sun. But yeah, that's quite a thing. And you could see the... You could see the actual emotion he had, this burden of carrying all this weight of caring for someone else who can potentially hurt a lot more people, like in Westchester. Mm-hmm. That was, it was never really said, but you understood this story plot and this backstory. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was how when Caliban had injured himself, that guy was like, the scientist was like, get some of his tissue. We're yeah gonna need it. So mm-hmm whatever was left, they were just scavenging
yeah
mm-hmm in order to use as weaponry,
mm-hmm,
which yeah freaking sucks. So you can't even die peacefully because
yeah
they're gonna use
yeah
you.
They're still gonna use you. That's why burn me, cremate me after death. I don't wanna.
So I'm one of the people who watched every X-Men and every Wolverine movies that came out, and before I read any comics, I loved those movies. As horrible as everyone said they were, Wolverine's my favorite X-Men, and so I was all about it. And you just throw Hugh Jackman on top of
heck yeah,
and that's just the icing on my little sexy cupcake. So I had, you know, coming into this to this movie, I didn't really know what to expect, because when they first did the trailer, you're not really sure. Like, there's old man Wolverine, the comic, and everyone's trying to figure out old man Logan. Everyone's trying to figure out, you know,
what's the direction
this movie was going. And so I didn't really know what to expect. And damn, they just
ripped us
apart. They mm-hmm just completely surpassed all expectations.
Yeah.
And the story that was told and the way that it ended, I mean, it was just amazing. It does make me a little bit sad because... Wolverine in the comics does have a big hand in raising Laura, mm-hmm, and makes her into who she is as an adult. And I would love to see some of that. I mean, they kind of mushed as much of it into this small storyline as they could. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see... I love her as a character, so I would love to kind of see that. It makes me sad that that's not going to ever happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least we have the fact that he definitely made an impression
yes.
on her life.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And who she'll grow up to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, at the end when he just tells her, don't be what they want you to be or what they made you to be or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that same scene, I love when he's like, now I know what they were all talking about. Like, kind of being a father or a mentor. And, like, mm-hmm. he finally...
Putting your faith into the next generation.
Yeah. Or, you know, sacrificing yourself for them. The future, and it was like, whoa, like, fuck. Like, that totally messed me up. I was like, sitting next to my nephew, I just was bawling. It was like, I will die for you, kid. That's all there is.
Well, I'm crossing my fingers that the MCU somehow gets the rights back to to X-Men, and we see, Hugh Jackman does not have that many more years of Wolverine in him, but man, if they could just squeeze out a couple more, and then within that universe, oh my gosh, that would be, I would die happy.
Well, he said he would definitely mm-hmm. reprise the role. Yep. If they did the Avengers crossover, he would definitely do it. I'm like, yes, let's do it.
I want to see that happen. Yes. X-Men Avengers crossover.
Yes. So the director's name is James Mangold.
Uh-huh.
Am I saying it? Mangold? Mangled.
Mangold.
He did 310 to Yuma. He did Oliver and Company with Disney.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
Walk the Line, which is why I think he used a lot of
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash uh-huh. on there. And he did Copland and a lot of other ones. But what really struck me, and I saw it right from the beginning, was that he both directed and wrote Logan.
Mm.
So I'm just like, dude, you found a place in my heart too.
Yeah.
You're there, dude.
It's just,
whatever you do now from now on, I'm gonna love. That's it.
It's not all right. And it was very much mentioned that this isn't exactly a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It comes off more as a Western. There's even a scene where Lara is watching Shane. And she, like, memorizes one of the quotes, and that's what she says in while they're standing over Wolverine's grave.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, this is what this movie is. It's a Western that happens to feature superheroes mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yes, fuck yes, because I love Westerns.
Exactly.
I'm a sucker for Westerns, and, like, it's a thing I grew up on. I love Westerns. I love The Magnificent Seven, even the remake. I love, like, Shane. I love, what's the one about Tombstone?
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry. Yeah,
yeah.
I love Westerns, and this was a Western that had superheroes in it. Like, sign me the fuck up. Like, yes.
Yeah, yes. Do a kind of genres that you wouldn't think would mesh well are just extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to do that with Cowboys and Aliens, but it mm-hmm. just didn't have the fluidity that it had with Logan.
Yeah.
By far, I think this is my favorite movie, and I've seen Midnight. So, Midnight was a very good movie, but Logan just ran away in my heart. Mm-hmm. I just love it. Loved it. The action, apparently newcomer that we've just barely seen, Daphne, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Patrick Stewart's Professor X, it was just beautiful. Even the bad guy was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His little accent, and he was just, you know, like, I didn't even think, why don't you have remorse? Like, usually I'm like, why don't you have remorse, guy? Mm-hmm. Aren't you human? You know, but this guy, you know, like, he had, like, a sense of respect. It's sort of, like, almost, like, kind of an ancient way of being, like, back in the old days where you, like, you're not a good guy, but you respect them. It's, like, it's weird. It's weird.
You respect power.
Yeah.
He respects power. And, I definitely didn't feel sad for when he finally, like, died.
Met his doom.
Met his comeuppance. I was just like, yeah.
And the way it happened, I was just like, there was no other way to go.
Sweet, 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 sweet vengeance, yo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. But yeah, it was a fabulous movie. I can't stress enough, if you haven't watched it and we ruined it, we're sorry, but we did warn you. And for those of you who saw it and are nodding your head as you listen to us and want to point out more items, feel free to
definitely
to tell us and let us know what subjects we didn't touch on this movie. But by far my most favorite movie, with characters from the comic books that I grew up with.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say comic book movie. I'm going to say with the comic book characters that I grew up with, because it's mostly a Western, like you said.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Amazing. I want to drop the mic, but, you know, it's going to break. I don't want to buy a new one.
But, yeah, it was definitely a great... It was a great movie. I definitely put it up there with Iron Man, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go as far to say that this is by far my favorite right now. Like, by far. Like, even though those other ones just... My heart is big, so... They're all in there, guys. They're all in there. But right now, Logan is like my shit right now. Okay? It's like... Speaks to me in a different language, I can't continue.
I mean, I think that this movie succeeded in really getting into the heart of who Wolverine is as a character. When you've actually read him from the beginning, he's a very complex person. Mm-hmm. And his origin and everything and just his personality, is just, it was very well, showcased in this movie compared to all the other ones that he's been in.
I'd like to add to that as well. Even though, this movie is so different from all his previous movies, it's not a new Wolverine. It's like the same guy.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's the same guy, Hugh Jackman, of course it's the same one, right? No, but even though the director and the storyline and the way it was written, we still know it's like, it's the same person, only a time has molded him in a certain different way, mm-hmm. you know, like, because we're all a product of our experiences and our losses and our, you know, our successes and so forth. So, but I never felt like those weren't relevant to this Logan.
Mm-hmm.
They all tie in.
Yeah.
Like, they are not irrelevant, and this is a whole standalone movie. It was all one for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all together.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, because that was one thing I feared, is that they were going to go a whole different direction where I wouldn't even recognize this character. But like said, he's so complex, mm-hmm. and Hugh Jackman just is able to... I mean, you're talking about an actor who fucking... He sings and dances and on stage, you know, on Broadway, and he can play Wolverine, and he could be a love interest of whatever her name is. But, I mean, he's just so diverse.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And for him to have played Wolverine the 17 years, it was an honor, and it was so amazing to live in an age where Wolverine came to life for us.
Yeah.
I know you guys have been saying it, but, like, Jesus, literally,
he's been playing Wolverine for 17 years.
Yeah, 17 years, dude.
And I will never accept another Wolverine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't feel like I can either.
No,
absolutely not.
You found the perfect actor. Now there can't be another.
Yeah.
And you know what's so cool about him is, like, at first I felt like at the beginning of him playing Wolverine, I thought he would be typecast.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Yeah.
He was in Les Miserables and, you know, like, all these other just amazing stuff. Like, he's just amazing. You know, he, you know, didn't get bogged down like how other actors, I don't want to play him again because I don't want to be typecast.
Yes, yeah.
You know, he didn't see, I mean, his whole perspective as a person, I think, is different. That's why I think he's so wonderful as Wolverine, and I think that's why the public loves him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the feels.
Yes, go see the movie
if you haven't.
Yes, if you haven't, and
go
if
see
you,
it again.
And if you have,
go see it again.
I'm gonna watch it with my brother, who hasn't seen it. We're usually midnight show people, but as the years have gone on, we've
I may just go by myself on Monday on my day off and just go and see it and enjoy it and yeah,
and cry
my little heart out all by myself.
Oh, absolutely. My nephew said you're probably gonna cry twice. I ended up crying like 5 times.
What do you mean? I was just in one long continuous cry.
It was just a one long sob. But yeah, no, yeah. It's fantastic, and I hope you guys, as the audience, can agree that it's a wonderful movie and show your support. You know, tell your friends about it or go see it again. Mm-hmm. Don't take your kids. But you know, my rationalization was my nephew plays Call of Duty, so it's okay for him to watch Wolverine. So I'm like, it's cool as long as there's no boobies, we're okay.
But, yeah. No, yeah, I went to go see it with my brother, and we're basically the same age. So there was that. But now I'm going to go take my smaller siblings, and I justify this by one, I'm not their mother.
I like that.
And two, I mean, like, my brother's, he's 13, I think he's 13, he could be 14, I don't care, I don't know. I don't keep track of these things. All I know is that he's a teenager. And my little sister, she's already 15, so it's just like...
Yeah.
Shoot. I used to sneak into R-rated movies, like...
Yeah, we grew up watching The Exorcist and Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger, so we're good.
That's it, and like... All you see in the movies is, like, that one time when that lady, like, flushes her boobs, and I was just all like, okay, no, like, that's it.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, you see, like...
Yeah, I remember now. So... But it didn't even faze me. It wasn't
It's just like, with Deadpool, I think it would have been more awkward. Yeah. That's why I didn't take them. I'm just like, I'm just going to buy the DVD and y'all can watch it on yourselves. But I'll take them to go see Logan. And plus, they want to see it. And my brother's already read Old Man Logan. So it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for staying here and reviewing the movie with me. Because I was just too excited to talk about it.
This time, we actually have all seen it. Exactly. During opening weekend. Not and like Star Wars where we had to wait.
Well, no, I mean, you guys had watched it, and I saw your little post about, like, all the feels, and you got to see this movie, and I was like, mm-hmm. Well, they already saw it. I actually put aside some time to go and see it.
Yeah.
Hey. Because I was like, A, I wanted to see it. B, I heard great things from you guys. And C, my nephew had already seen it, so I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. We're going to go. I have to go watch it now. So we did, and it was just great. But I did try to watch it on the weekend it opened, mm-hmm. But it was sold out.
That's right. I remember you
three
saying
consecutive
that.
Times. I was even willing to pay the extra for the XD.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was sold out. That was the actually first one to sell out, and then all the other times previous to that, and there was no way I was going to wait another, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just like, mm-hmm. No, that's... Let's just, we watch something else.
I forgot when, I think I saw it Friday. I think I'm going to go ahead and say Friday. Because my brother, he had a $26 gift certificate. And so we went to go to the Regal at LA Live, right there by the Staples Center and everything.
Ooh,
so nice. We actually got to see the premiere theater.
Oh, yeah.
And since he had that, we only had to pay like $9 for the actual cast. So nice. I was just like, the seating was awesome.
Yes.
Everything was awesome.
I'm going to go to the South Bay Galleria. I haven't been to the new one there yet where they have the reclining seats. And
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Literally, this is why I live at the AMC Santa Monica one because it has the reclining seats. And I'm just like, this is where I see all my movies now. Like, damn.
Well, I live here in Compton, and like a 10-minute drive is the Carson Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Cinemark. But they don't have the reclining chairs. Tell me why I drive to down near Norwalk to go to the reclining chairs. And just recently I went to Long Beach and the Pike.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they also have the reclining chairs. So now I'll be driving over there to see a movie. Because it really makes a difference.
It does.
I mean, it's so comfortable.
I think the Cinemark Playa Vista has reclining seats as well.
Is that farther? You're like...
I don't know distances, you know. I just know it's like it's close. It's kind of closest to Santa Monica.
Oh, okay. The one in Playa is an AMC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they do. They're the ones that are full service.
Oh, where they come and take your order.
They come take your order at your chair. You can drink a beer. They have mixed drinks. And you would not think, because, I mean, when you go to the movies and you get a hot dog or the nachos, it's like, it's movie theater food. Mm-hmm. But these places have freaking chefs somewhere in the movie theater, and the food is phenomenal.
Oh, I gotta try that.
It is very good. In fact, as you guys were talking, I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll go to Playa. Because South Bay has the reclining chairs, and they do have, like, better menu choices, but it's not the full service.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm gonna definitely try that when Frank comes. My husband, I'm gonna probably have him watch Logan again.
Yeah.
With me. Well, I'm gonna watch it again, and he's gonna watch it with me. He's all like, is there a lot of dialogue? Cause, you know, he's, English is, he's still learning
right,
English.
Yeah.
And I go, as a matter of fact, there's Spanish in it. He's like, so now we're excited, and maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a different experience for us.
And just so you know, you need your ID. Eddie didn't have his ID once, and they almost didn't let him in. You have to be 18 or over to get into that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
You should be complimented. He doesn't look less than 18.
The guy was like, come on, dude. I'm over here. And he's like, I'm sorry. He had to go get the manager to let him in.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
When I went, they only asked for one ID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, most movie theaters I've been to, they ask one ID and you can buy another ticket.
Right. Well, but right. This movie theater, you can't, it's not just you can't buy the ticket. You can't go in if you're not 18.
Oh, okay.
I guess because of the drinks.
The one in Playa.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I don't, maybe it's the drinks. I mean.
Because, I mean, you could order it and then just give it to the kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like if you're going with your friend or a minor girl that you're trying to seduce.
My brain goes dark. Is it 21 then that they can't get in? I don't know. There's definitely an age limit that kids can't go to that one.
Okay. Got it. So I'm going to tell Frank, bring your ID.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of our Logan review. Thank you guys for sticking around. Or if you're coming back, thank you guys for coming back and listening to our Logan review of the movie Logan. All right. We have been your hosts. I am Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jennifer.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Ciao. Amen.